Evening. What a blessing it is to be here together in the cool and calm quiet of God's love. Thank you. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, pour out your Holy One on our hearts and minds. Open us to the wisdom and word through silence and scripture, through teaching and Eucharist. Send us home changed and transformed, new people, healed, whole, and holy. We pray this in the threefold holy name, transcendent Father, omnipresent Son, immanent and indwelling Spirit. Amen.
Staying in that place of quiet, let us listen with the ear of the heart to God's word. The first reading is taken from the book of 2 Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, we hold this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing power may be of God and not from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not constrained, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being given up to death for the sake of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since then, we have the same spirit of faith. According to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We too believe and therefore speak, knowing that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and place us with you in his presence. Everything indeed is for you, so that the grace bestowed in abundance on more and more people may cause the thanksgiving to overflow for the glory of God. The word of the Lord. The second reading is taken from Psalms 126. The response is, those who sow in tears shall reap rejoicing. Those who sow in tears shall reap rejoicing. When the Lord brought back the captives of Zion, we were like men dreaming. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with rejoicing. Those who sow in tears shall reap rejoicing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad indeed. Those who sow in tears shall reap rejoicing. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the torrents in the southern desert. Those that sow in tears shall reap rejoicing. Those who sow in tears shall reap rejoicing. Although they go forth weeping, carrying the seed to be sown, they shall come back rejoicing, carrying their sheaves. Those who sow in tears shall reap rejoicing. The word of the Lord. The gospel reading is taken from Matthew chapter 20. The mother of the sons of Zebedee approached Jesus with her sons and did him homage, wishing to ask him for something. He said to her, "What do you wish?" She answered him, "Command that these two sons of mine sit, one at your right and the other at your left, in your kingdom." Jesus said in reply, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the chalice that I'm going to drink?" They said to him, we can. He replied, My chalice you will indeed drink, but to sit at my right and at my left, that is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father. When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus summoned them and said, You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just so the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. The Gospel of our Lord and Savior.
Those who sow in tears reap rejoicing. Really? Really? Say it once with me. Check in with it. Those who sow in tears will reap rejoicing. Do you ever get the sense when we locate in source, when we jump into the flow, life is strange and magical, powerful and very fragile? I was sitting with our epistle text this morning, listening in prayer, afflicted but not constrained, perplexed but not despairing, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. It's one of St. Paul's masochistic grocery lists throughout. You know, I've been shipwrecked, snake bit, thrown in prison twice, lowered in a basket. You name it, again and again, his masochistic grocery list. Another place he's like, I've had this thorn in my side for so long. If I haven't asked 3 times, I've asked 330 times, take it away. But all I hear is my grace is sufficient for you and your powerlessness. Uh-huh. Those who sow tears will reap rejoicing, really? So I was sitting there with this text ending the meditation when my phone vibrated on the table. And I had arrived at like this afflicted but not constrained. Okay, I'll go with this, Paul. And the text was from a friend who I hadn't seen or heard from for a very long time. And the message read, We shattered each other's hearts. But from this, the gifts just keep giving. Thank you. Really? We shattered each other's hearts. But from this, the gifts just keep giving. Thank you. So I thought, okay, divine, I've got a theme for the text and from the text. Go figure. Went out to have my breakfast and broke some eggs. And I thought, in this flow, in this shattering, in this affliction, life is always breaking and pouring out. Do you ever get that sense when you look up at the night sky and stars are going supernova, nuclear fission, right? Boom. The ocean in all its grandeur breaks out into waves and laps. Have you ever been on the shore and it laps the shore and it rubs smooth the stones and then breaks up into foam and is taken? One of my mentors says, life, in with this water metaphor, life's either going to smooth out the rough edges or it's going to shear your head off, right? When we want to create, we break out with another, and our mothers burst forth with water, and then in comes new life, right? than as children when we come to that place where we realize there's a fissure, an existential fissure, right? There's no longer mommy, me. There's a mom and me, and who's that? That's dad. Whoa! Some say that what we do with that space, that fissure, is what we do with our life. We can grab for survival and security, affection and esteem, power and control, or if we're lucky, we can jump into the flow, into the breaking, into the giving. I love looking at the Texas sky where the heat kind of gathers in the day, and if we're lucky, it breaks into storm. It breaks out, right? It changes. My friend's smoking some brisket, and he throws onto the fire these beautiful pieces of oak, and the fire and the flame have this conversation. Okay, let's do something. Let's allow heat and flame to sear meat. You get the picture. The gazelle breaks out and gives up so the baby lions can eat. Give and take. There's a lot of tattoos and piercings in Austin. Have you noticed that? I couldn't find any room to put a tattoo or a piercing anymore. But not only is it cosmetic, anthropologists will tell us that, you know, in primitive societies, an initiation was to be marked, to be pierced, to be broken, to have some teeth knocked out, circumcision, you know, piercings, tattoos, to say, this is what's coming as you grow into this life, right? And it belies a hunger in our society amongst these generations. I want to be marked. I want to be pierced. I want something significant to be in the give and the take and the breaking and the pouring. Meister Eckhart has a German word which I can never remember. It's basically a roiling or a boiling over of life. It's a dance. It breaks us. Think of it closer to home in our person. In the life of prayer, we learn to sit still, and if we're lucky, thought breaks out into what? Into pure being, right? And then it comes back and it gathers and it comes back. And then there are those moments where time breaks out into what? Into eternity. Yeah, life's about this breaking. And those of us getting older realize that you don't have to read Bernadette Roberts to know that we're all on our way to no self, right? We're all there, on there. When I wake up and I'm like, why is my shoulder sore? Well, because I slept on it, right? No special reason. Did I put speed stick on this morning just 3 seconds ago, or did I not? No mind, right? Like, we're getting there. We're getting there. Don't worry. You don't have to read Bernadette. The trick in this rhythm, when we're afflicted, when we're those things that cause us suffering and pain, do we constrain and constrict? Do we hold in and hold back? Which is a natural instinct, right? I'm taking my ball and going home. Can you give me, Paul, do you have another way to transformation in Christ in real life? Can I just take my bucket and take it out of the flow of this dance and go protect myself? Or do we need to jump in? That's the gift of faith, is how do we, and think for yourself, how have I suffered the pain and suffering of life and not constrained, but stayed open, pouring out and breaking and sharing? Today's the feast of Santiago, St. James, as we hear in the gospel, the patron saint of the Iberian world, of Latin America, Chile, Nicaragua, of laborers and of sufferers of sore bones, the patron saint. And he was privy to some of Jesus' most profound experiences, St. James was. He was called with his brother John, and they were there at the Transfiguration, so they got to see on the mountainside the power that these earthen vessels, what's flowing through these things, right? humanity and divinity at full stretch. He was there for the transfiguration. He was also there when the Samaritan village wouldn't receive Jesus and the disciples, and he asked Jesus, and this is where they got the nickname the Sons of Thunder, can we call down fire and power on this village? So there's a little confusion about what we do with this power given through faith. And then finally in the reading that Lisa read tonight, his mother comes and says, can you give my guys this power? And Jesus says, and that's not for me to give. And can you drink this cup? Which, what kind of cup is? It's a cup of pouring out, of servitude. It's not a power of fire from the sky. So the trick is, how do we bless the breaking? Well, we do it here when we gather around the table. How do we bless the breaking? First of all, we take it in our hands. We take this dance, this life, all of it. The suffering and the pain and the chaos, the dance, and we take it all in. Earlier, Jesus says, pick up your cross. Pick it up. It's the one power we have, right? And then if we get that lucky, then what do? In the Eucharist, right? We bless it. We try to bless it. We say, okay, thank you. Help me to stay open. What's the one way we can stay open in suffering and pain? If we can just find one small thing, the smile on a cat, the devil's lost his game. Suffering has lost some of its power. If we can stay in gratitude and abundance, right? So at the Eucharist, we come and we gather up our lives and we hold it. It's physicality, it's chaos, it's bloodiness. And then we say, thank you. We say, this is from source. In fact, it's not a distant source. It's the very one who comes in and participates in this flow and dance and breaking and pouring out, right? We carry in ourselves the dying of Jesus. And after we bless it, we break it. We say, okay, if reality is about breaking and pouring out, giving and taking, repelling, attracting, count me in. You want to get rid of this small container, this earthen vessel, this ego? Okay. I used to tell my youth, ego stands for edging God out. Being stands for be, in, and then a hanging G, God. So we're broken. And then finally we take and we share. We're persecuted, but we're not abandoned, Paul says. So when we're in the faithful community, we realize that though we may be individuals in our different pains and sufferings and humiliations and shame, that's what we share in common together. And together, we can gather it up and support one another and be in God. We think it's our successes and our cool facades and but it's not. It's in our brokenness and our humanness. How do we bless the breaking? We participate in it. And not only do we think about it or confess it or believe it, we actually consume it. We bring it in. Knowing that when we join this, if we carry the dying of Christ in our bodies, we also carry Christ's life. And that is, it roils over in Eckhart's terms. It'll pour out into creation and onto everything and everyone. And that's not always easy, having ourselves and our hearts shattered. But that's how the gifts are breaking free and breaking out. Amen. Amen. A wise one once told me that life will break our hearts until they're big enough to contain the whole world. The grace of the Son, omnipresent. The love of the Mother, Father, transcendent. And the friendship of the Spirit, imminent and indwelling, be with and go with each of us. Amen.